Gracious God, we thank you for your word to us in Scripture. We pray that this written word will become a living word in our hearts and lives through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. I should have said at the beginning that Vicar Tim, of course, is still away in Israel, and hence my being here leading us in worship this morning. We're hearing a lot these days urging us to use public transport. In fact, I wonder when was the last time you used a bus to go to Central City or somewhere else? A few hands going up, good on you. But you know what it can be like on a bus, a bit like the Underground in London for those who've experienced that. For some, sitting in our seat, probably looking out the window or straight ahead of us, and alongside we might be the schoolgirl checking her textbook for the coming test, or it might be a businessman reading the front page of the press, young adult with, of course, earphones on, and the senior citizen, like some of us, close to dozing off. None of us sometimes find it easy to look somebody else in the eye when we're on a bus. Do you think that can resemble being in church on a Sunday? Not at St. Paul's, I don't think. Not at St. Paul's. But today, Pentecost Sunday, suggests to me that we are to be not like sitting on a bus, but at a party. At a party. A party is a time for getting together with friends, for celebrating good things usually, and for building good relationships. And our scriptures, not least, of course, the book of Acts, from which we heard our first reading this morning, the scriptures underline a number of very important factors that can help the church to be more like a party than sitting on a bus trip. Our Bishop Peter, he wrote a letter to the diocese during the week with some challenging words. Let me read them to you, part of it. He says, Pentecost is a shattering event in the history of God's people. Phenomena of fire and plural languages are experienced. Some observers think the followers of Jesus are drunk. If there's one thing I hope we always keep in mind as we reread the story of this dramatic birth of the church, it is that the Holy Spirit sometimes will be wild and disruptive in the life of the church. Anglicanism has a tendency to love good order. The Holy Spirit, he says, is not committed to sharing that tendency. I guess we'll have our own responses to our bishop's words. Anyway, I think we run a fairly orderly party here at St. Paul's, a party where we can give time to building relationships, strong Christian relationships, allowing the Holy Spirit to work amongst us and through us out into the world as well. I'd like to think this morning in terms of a series of one another's that the Holy Spirit probably calls us to. The scriptures certainly do, finding them in the New Testament. The first is honour one another from Romans chapter 12. Honour one another above yourselves. In other words, build up the other person, another way to put it. I read a story recently that impressed me. It was about two women, but it could easily be two men. It's just a bit casual in one sense. But I'll call them Mrs. Smith and Mrs. Brown. Mrs. Smith was being visited by the vicar one day. And during the conversation, she told him that she and her close friends had become very annoyed with Mrs. Brown and her group. In church, they were still on different sides of the aisle, sometimes glaring at one another. Things were quite tense between the groups. So the vicar, trying to be as pastoral as he could, thought for a moment and he said, well, tell me, Mrs. Brown, tell me what would be one thing you actually appreciate about Mrs. Brown. Back to front. Tell me one thing you'd appreciate about Mrs. Brown. Mrs. Smith said, well, she does make a marvellous fruitcake. Well, later in the week, the vicar thought he should visit Mrs. Brown and find out how she saw this tension and this conflict. Well, she gave him an earful for about 10 minutes. Okay, said the vicar, I've heard all that. Can you tell me one thing you appreciate about Mrs. Smith? Well, Mrs. Brown said, well, I guess I'd have to admit she has got a wonderful singing voice. That's great, said the vicar. Do you know what she said about you? No, I don't think I want to hear, said Mrs. Brown. Well, Mrs. Smith said, you make a marvellous fruitcake. Really? Let me jump ahead a few weeks, with each one hearing that their so-called enemy found something significant and positive to admire about the other, there was a huge thawing in that relationship. You see, however hard it was for them, they both managed to honour the other in at least one way. They found something positive to say, and it actually broke the ice and warmed up the relationship from then on. I believe amazing things can happen when we honour one another. When we make an effort to move past the negatives and work to affirm the positives. We need to value one another, don't we? Even though we may not always agree with one another, that's for sure. But still to value one another. May we grow in that here at St. Paul's. Let us not take one another for granted. As the scripture says, honour one another better than yourselves. Secondly, encourage one another. From 1 Thessalonians, Paul again writes, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. Which isn't so very different from my first point about honouring. But actually, I believe, as I understand, honouring is giving somebody some honour for what has already happened, already been done, whereas encouragement is really an up-to-date thing. You keep on now and into the future, we keep encouraging too. Encouragement can build us up, can give us strength to hang in there when things are tough. Helps us to realise that we're doing something worthwhile when somebody encourages us. And here I'm talking about maybe just that quiet one-to-one word we can share. Or a little note we might drop in the letterbox or put in their hand. A card to thank somebody for something they've done. Or maybe that quick phone call that can be so crucial and so much appreciated. But how easy it is, isn't it, to do the opposite. To be negative about things, to grumble, to complain, to criticise somebody or something. Think back in the Old Testament, Moses and his people at that time. Remember how they had been released from slavery in Egypt? They'd seen God's hand in that release, the parting of the Red Sea waters, God providing manna and water for them to live on. But so soon they were grumbling and wishing they were back in Egypt. They found it too easy to slip back to negatives and to complaints. You may have heard the Arab proverb, I complained because I had no shoes until I met a person who had no feet. The New Testament gives a high priority to encouragement. In fact, encourager is really one of the names given to the Holy Spirit, a word used, I believe, about 25 times in the book of Acts alone. Barnabas, of course, was a great example of one giving encouragement to those around him. In fact, he became known as the son of encouragement. What a lovely sort of name to have in addition to your personal name. But encouragement, doesn't it? Builds up the life of a group of people, and congregations are part of that. So can I suggest, let's see what we can do this coming week to encourage somebody else in one small, maybe a small way. No one can ever get too much encouragement, can they? Honour, encourage. Thirdly, again a bit similar, accept one another. From Romans chapter 15, Paul writes, accept one another as Christ has accepted you. It's that second part that I've emphasised that is so important, I believe. Let's never forget the wonderful grace that God enables him to accept you and me all we are. Despite our sin, our shortcomings, our faults and failings, all the ways we've turned our back on God maybe and gone our own way. He's got every reason to reject us, to cast us out. As it says, as Paul writes again in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that's one way. But that verse goes on, but we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. This is what we rejoice in our worship. In our communion this morning, is remember Jesus going to the cross, his grace and love and forgiveness bound up in that. Somebody has said that the church can be a fellowship of unlikes. Not mean we don't like each other, but we are different. We differ in personality perhaps, in race, in gifts, and in other ways too. But Paul's word comes back to us in the midst of that. Accept one another as Christ has accepted you. You and I and every human being has equal value in the eyes of God. So, for healthy relationships in the life of the church, the Holy Spirit, who we remember especially today, the Holy Spirit can help us to live out a good dollop of acceptance in our relationships. God is a God of variety. As one author has put it, living above with the saints we love, that will be glory. Living below with the saints we know, well, that's another story. But let's not leave it at that. It's a cute little phrase, perhaps, but we need to honour one another, encourage one another, accept one another. And so I could go on. There are plenty more one another's in the New Testament, each one commanded and enabled by the Holy Spirit, that we might be the true and the faithful people of God here below where we are in Papua Nui. Like forgive one another, bear with one another, be at peace with one another, stop passing judgment on one another, be devoted to one another, and of course, love one another. I guess Jesus' call to love one another as I have loved you wraps up all the other one another's we find in the scriptures. And loving one another in its various expressions is a significant sign of the church being more like a party than a bus trip. One last matter I'd like to highlight as we think about Pentecost and the difference God's Holy Spirit makes to our lives, personally, corporately, and as his church. And it certainly comes out from the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit sends us out in mission with the good news. There are many parts of life, church life, that are important and shouldn't be forgotten and need to be dealt with. But the concern we notice of those early Christians was to live and to proclaim the wonderful news of a God who in Jesus offers a life beyond compare. That was their thrust so often in what they were doing, what they were called to. And surely the same challenges us, calling us afresh to work and pray for what Murray Matthews recently called the good ship St. Paul's, that we might see people come to faith in Jesus and enjoy the life that he offers. And the way we relate to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, in our local church and beyond, is really key, isn't it, to God's message drawing people to him. If they see us fighting, squabbling, whatever, why would they bother to come? If they see us caring, loving, supporting, accepting, honouring, and all of that, they've got every reason to say, I want something of that. I want to close with a quote that Hank will put on the screen now from the great 20th century Bible scholar, J.B. Phillips. He wrote, "It is the church that is willing to die to worldly standards that will know the power of Christ's resurrection. It may be envied for its loving relationships or for its spontaneous joy. It may be hated and persecuted for its revolutionary lifestyle, exposing the hollow values and destructive selfishness of the society it seeks to serve, but it certainly cannot be ignored." May that be so in our very secular society today. For the world at its worst needs the church at its best. Let me close in prayer. Lord of the church and of the church's mission, strengthen your church where she is weak. Guard your church where she is strong. Renew your church where she has lost her vision. Grant her humility where she is proud. And may we here at St. Paul's serve you with joy and fulfill your purposes with delight. Deepen our faith as we proclaim and live out the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all for the glory of your great name. Amen.